They said it couldn't be done. Whoever they are, the original jerks. I'm Matt Cause, and that is Bob Mackwitz. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Matthew. I'm so proud of us for two reasons. Firstly, we actually made it to the second podcast.
That's right.
Because the easy move is to do one, and then about 3-4 days before the next podcast, you go, wow, do I actually have to prepare another one?
I know.
It would have been so easy and so like us to bail. But no, we made it to the second one, which now makes it an actual thing.
That's right.
The other thing I'm really proud about, we'll get to this when we get to the three takeaways in a few minutes, but in the middle of the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs and the Jays spiraling like a paper airplane that's been set on fire, we found a way to make our takeaways about the Leafs.
Yes, we did.
Thus proving we are true Toronto sports enthusiasts.
Thank you for everyone listening in Edmonton right now. You must absolutely hate us.
I have a point of condo etiquette before we get to the takeaways.
Yeah.
So I'm a house guy.
Yep.
And you're a condo guy.
Yep.
You live in a lovely condo, like most people, with two stories overlooking the lake in Toronto.
That's right. Like everyone else.
Like most people.
Yes.
And so there's this awkward moment that comes up all the time when I'm coming to visit you. And I need to know from your point of view.
All right.
Is this okay? So when you get to the front door, if you don't know the buzz code and you can't let yourself in, you have to go to that thing where you cycle through all the names. And it takes a long time. Even though you're Cause, it still takes like about 30, 40
seconds.
I'm at
C. It's not like my last name
is Zorbat.
But it still
takes time. Zoltar. It's the Zoltar and Mako show. So I'm there and I'm cycling through all the names. And someone who does live here comes in. And they opened the door.
Oh, and do you want to walk in or do you still go through the process
of
calling?
Is it okay to walk in or am I like B&E-ing at that point? And the person who's like opened the door.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a guy. I'm a bigger guy. Sometimes my hair can be kind of messy. I'm not what you would call super well-kempt.
Yes, that's true.
So I could look, I think, if not scary, certainly questionable at times. Is it legit to walk in after the resident who does live there? Even though you haven't been buzzed in?
That's a great question. I think it really depends on just who's the person that lets you in. If it's an elderly person, then, you know, wait, go through the process. If it's young guy, just walk in.
But think about this for a second. So an old lady goes in and I've got to wait for the door to close.
Yes.
And then buzz up.
Yeah.
And then go in.
And then awkwardly stand with them in the elevator, which is the worst part of that. Especially if they don't let you in, you get buzzed in, and you're still on the same elevator. I find the key to that is dress well and have a bottle of wine. Seriously, because every condo security I've ever gone to, if I walk in with a bottle of wine, they'll just buzz me in. Hey, go to whatever floor you want.
You know what I love, Maddie?
What are you going to do?
I love that your solution for every one of life's little problems is try to dress nicely and have a bottle of wine on you.
Doesn't hurt.
It certainly... certainly wouldn't hurt. So we got the three takeaways coming up in just a few moments. And as already mentioned, it will be leafy, very leafy.
It will be. Apologies for non-leaf fans.
And the biggest announcement in the history of the Mako and Cause podcast just around the corner.
Is it involving, I hope you brought your nutritionist list with you.
I did actually bring my nutritionist. It's not that, although it's kind of tangentially related. Nope. An even bigger announcement, Matt. This is a game changer, a life changer that goes beyond the borders of this little podcast. Everyone who hears this, their life will be changed forever. I promise you.
Do we also talk about your wife commenting on your pants?
We can get to that a little later. Or do you want to get to it now?
No, we'll do the takeaways.
A little bit later.
We
got listener questions. People sent in a lot of stuff. You and I are going to do a Jays in 6 words. Thanks for contributing to that, everybody. That's coming up. And the big question this week, where Maddie and I tackle a question that's bigger than any one team or even one league necessarily, but it's about being a sports fan in 2017. The big question this week, is the sports media really liberal?
That's the question.
I love it because down in the States, everything is, you know, are you right? Are you left? Everything's so polarized. And sports media has come under the microscope. And you and I have an interesting political division in that. I think we're both naturally centrists, but you lean right and I lean left.
Yeah, I have some right leanings. It's funny. In Canada, I'm right leaning. In the United States, I'm hanging out with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, you're Leon Trotsky in the United States and I'm in jail. So let's get to the three takeaways. What was your big takeaway this week, Maddie?
Big takeaway this week was at an event that people didn't really watch a lot of, the World Hockey Championships. And I'm sure I got the name wrong. I always screw up the names for these international events. If it's not the Olympics, then I always screw it up. But my takeaway is Nylander and Marner. Nylander was the MVP. Marner was second on Team Canada in scoring despite being the youngest guy. And one moment I really liked is that John Kupa, the head coach, had a Marner on the ice in the final minutes of regulation of the final game, the game that they lost in the shootout to Sweden. But there was Marner on the ice in the final minutes of a 1-1 game.
You can kind of see the future with Marner, right? Like in that moment that there he is representing Canada on the international stage. And he's not just a partner as a teenager, or he's just not a bystander. He's actually an important part of what Team
Canada's
doing.
He's not Christian Leitner, who somehow made the dream team. Yeah, he's not Christian Leitner.
That's an outstanding analogy. And then Nylander, after the Swedes won, the pile driver that he gives Henrik Lundqvist is going to be a meme, I think, forever.
Yes.
They both looked great. And it always feels like when you're a Leafs fan and you see these guys do well anywhere, that it portends well for the future. So I think your takeaway is legitimate. It's interesting to see how the Leafs' perception of Nylander has changed and how the fans' perception of Nylander has changed. Because if you think back to when he first kind of got a cup of coffee with the team, it wasn't technically his rookie year, I guess, because he didn't play enough games. But, you could see Babcock was willing to lean on him a little bit.
Yes.
Here are the expectations of being a pro at the NHL level. And that conversation's gone away. I got killed, Maddie. I got killed on Twitter.
Really? That's not like Twitter.
Exactly. The angry fish came and attacked me. I threw out I guess it was kind of an ill-conceived tweet, but I sent out a note just comparing him to Kovalev. Mm-hmm. Alex Kovalev, that Nylander, like Kovalev, is going to be as good as he wants to be. And literally, within 30 seconds, 20-plus tweets. There's no suggestion that Nylander's lazy. Why are people always saying this? Is it because he's Swedish that we expect that he's somehow not really trying hard? He's so skilled that it looks like he isn't trying hard.
Yeah, Twitter it's so defensive about Nylander, or at least I should say Leafs Twitter. And, it's funny, like if you say anything at all critical about him, I think you get a lot of people that overcompensate because, maybe Nylander was a little bit under the microscope in terms of defense or things like that. And then the younger Leaf fans, they get so angry with more established media, with that narrative that they just leap on any little thing.
Nylander had probably a better rookie year than Marner did. And I think maybe that's because as the season goes on, he gets paired up with Matthews and that becomes this incredibly dynamic duo. It's fascinating to see what they're going to do with him, what the Leafs are going to do with him. Do you keep him on the wing?
No, you make him a center.
But if you make him a center, then you're breaking up Matthews and Nylander, which has the possibility. That is the foundation for an NHL.
I know. It's
all NHL line.
Yes.
Now, I guess you could put Marner there and see how that works out. But it's just, a bird in the hand return to in the bush. But it does feel like you're going to move him to center, right?
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, by the way, that goal against Switzerland was nuts. And I'll just say this right now, though.
Okay.
If you could still find a young defenseman of Nylander's skill set, you make that trade. And by the way, I'm throwing out a trade possibility that almost does not exist.
Is this a hot take in the hot takeaways?
Well, it's not really a hot take because it's not like there's all these, 20-year-old defensemen of Nylander's skill set. But if one existed, if someone from Anaheim, and you could make that deal, I still would consider making that deal because it's still a position of strength. And having said that, that's nothing at all against Nylander. Because you know what I'm asking for in exchange for Nylander? Something that is so prized in the NHL. A young upper echelon defenseman.
It's an interesting and contentious point. I didn't have a platform to talk about this, but I remember after the draft that Mitch Marner, I was excited to get him. And in his rookie season, you love him. Is he Pat Kane? Is he Paul Kariya? I don't know. But you just know, you can see he's special. He's driving that line with Bozak and JVR, even as a teenager. And you get a feeling with him that the best is yet to come. That said, though, I wondered at the time aloud, was it wrong to take him versus one of the defensemen who went after him? I thought Hanifin was going to be the guy, but I'm not a scout. But whether it's Provorov or it's Zach Werenski, this is going to be a highly unpopular view. In fact, I invite you to yell at me on Twitter at Bob Mackowitz. And if you want to yell at Matty for his point, MCOS56 is where you can catch him. I can't say this definitively, But in your gut, don't you kind of wish the Leafs had Zach Werenski versus Mitch Marner?
Right now?
Right now.
No.
Right now.
No, not at all. I mean, you said...
Well, and also considering the future, too, Matty. Considering the future.
No, I... Marner was the veteran whisperer.
Okay.
You know, you saw what he did with, you know, with Bozak and with JVR. And that level of talent is so special. But I guess I'm being a little hypocritical because, you know...
You would have made that deal for Nylander.
Yeah,
maybe you just prized
him.
But think about this, though, okay? Werenski, in his first season, 47 points.
Yeah.
Plus good possession numbers. So he's a good defenseman. He's got size. He's 6'2". He's pretty big. 47 points. Compare that to Gardner, who had 43 points this year. Compare that to Zaitsev, who had 36 points this year. So already in his first year, as a teenager, he has obvious offensive upside. Plus, his possession numbers were good. Plus, he's 19. Plus, he's anchoring the blue line on a good power play.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. It's hypocritical of me if I was saying trade Nylander if you could get a defenseman of equal value.
It's a crazy thought because Marner might be the most electrifying player in the NHL in 2 or 3 years. He might be that guy next year, or he might drop off. We'll have to see. You know, the second year for a lot of pros is a tough one, even for the best kids out there. But... I don't know. See, I don't know whether or not this is just one of that rosterbation kind of thing that you and I get into. Like, you have something good, but could it be better? And you just start playing with crazy, ridiculous algorithms in your head.
Yes, I think what this is, what the last 3 minutes have just been unwarranted rosterbation.
Like, we talked about how great Marner and Nylander are, but then we immediately went to what else could you get for them?
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Let's get rid of all that. The original point was, wow, those guys were great at the World Championships, and the Leafs are going to be awesome next year.
But it does speak to, are they going to be awesome next year? This goes to my takeaway, and this goes to Kyle Dubas, the assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, given permission to go and talk to Colorado about possibly becoming their new general manager. And Kyle Dubas, he's an interesting figure. When you go back to when you and I had a talk show on TSM, we talked to Kyle Dubas. Because I think we were early adopters of the analytics movement.
Yeah, we talked to Tyler. We talked to Tyler Dello before he went over to Edmonton.
Steve Dangle, who was kind of and continues to be not just a funny guy, but also a very smart and progressive hockey thinker, probably underrated in a lot of ways. You and I really championed the analytics group. We would talk to Rob Volman. You know, we would a lot of people who represented that community. And Kyle Dubas at the time was the patron saint of the analytics community. He was the genius who was making the Sioux Greyhounds play hockey in a completely new way. And when he got hired by the Leafs, by Brendan Shanahan, after what was reportedly a 12-hour dinner. I mean, you've had those before, Matty, where you have lunch and it suddenly turns into drinks and dinner.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Man, those are good days. Nobody hates those days. So he was brought in. He's young. And the hashtag this year for a lot of the year was the Leafs are actually good. Before that, though, I think the real optimism started with the Leafs are actually smart.
Yes.
After a long period of management making ill-advised moves, and not just the David Clarkson move, but just valuing grit and size and
playoff experience,
and Randy Carlyle playing a style of hockey that was archaic and essentially scoffing at the idea that possession matters. These are oversimplifications, but the feeling was the people who are running the show weren't running it in present-day smart term.
Yeah, they were impatient. It was about immediate gratification, kind of like rosterbation, versus just thinking long term, which is, you're right, the Leafs got smarter. Started with Shanahan and Dubas and Hunter.
And then it goes to Mark Hunt. Yeah, Mark Hunter and Pridham gets brought in.
Lou Lamoriello.
Well, and we'll get to that in a second, because that's really where this takeaway goes, which is Dubas given permission to talk to Colorado is just another example that Lou is here to stay, and this is Lou's team. I don't think that that's any mystery to anybody, but when he was initially brought in, the idea was he was going to be a mentor, and that Dubas was the heir apparent, and Mark Hunter was brought in, and those guys were like these two, not entirely unconventional hires, but pretty unconventional hires, and Lou was the rock, the center. He was going to, what was the comment he made? If Dubas doesn't become a general manager in this league, it's his fault?
Yeah.
Well, he might become one, and it might be for Colorado. There was whispers, you know, in the past that maybe Arizona was barking up that tree, too, looking at him. But this is Lou's team now. Is that a good thing?
Yes, it is a good
thing. Or a bad thing? I don't know. I don't know about that.
But hold on. I don't know how you can say, I mean, eventually, I think if Dubas does leave, and that'd be a shame because any brain drain is obviously a negative, but you have Hunter, who is being groomed as well to be the general manager. But the funny thing is everyone's getting nervous about, Lou's having more power. Well, what has Lou done since he got here? He's been able to manipulate the rules. A lot of great trades, stockpiling draft picks. Who was the one who signed and brought in Frederick Anderson? That was Lou Lamoriello. Who was the one in training camp that said, no. Mitch Marner isn't here for 5 games or 9 games. Mitch Marner is here for the season. There's crusty old man Lou Lamoriello. What was he doing? He was getting behind a teenager who weighs 150 pounds.
Matt Martin got a deal that he really didn't particularly deserve.
Find me the GM with 1,000.
No, I won't.
I'm not worried.
The Zaitsev deal at 7 years is probably a little bit long. I'm not going to throw Lou under the bus because that would be ridiculous. The Leafs have obviously gotten better since he's been here. How much of that is him? How much of that is everybody else? Geez, it's like dealing with the Stonecutters, those guys. I mean, you know, there's a wall that's impenetrable. You don't know what's happening.
Which is a good
behind
thing.
Those. It is probably a good thing. But next year is an interesting one. And you and I talked a bit about this on the last podcast, which is they have money to spend. The Leafs are in the game. You got a good young roster. People are excited. We were just talking about Nylander, Marner. They're not just exciting young kids. They're starting to be seen now as the driving engine of an exciting and up-and-coming team. So can they stand pat next year? Can they go out and maybe find a nice little value add right shot defenseman?
Mm-hmm. They can. Yes, they
are. People going to be satisfied with that?
I think
Or under Lou Lamoriello, do you start shopping for those big deals? Do you start shopping for something exciting? I know I am presuming, but the sensible walk, don't run approach is about to be tested.
It is about to be tested. And the thing is, if it does get tested, it's not going to be just because of Lou Lamoriello. It's going to be because of Hunter, and it's going to be because of Shanahan. And so far, don't they deserve to be trusted from what they've done? What Lou Lamoriello has done, and I think sometimes there's an ageism, because it's like, oh, God, I don't want the old guy in charge. I want the young, sexy Kyle Dubas with all those analytics. And the answer is you need a mix of all of it, which is such a boring take. I feel that we are going to be more critical or nervous of Lamoriello because of his age.
I think that the last version of the brain trust, as you describe it, was explicitly put together to get through the first phase of the build, right? Which is find talent, identify value, be smart, be lean. Don't run this in an explosive way. Run this in a small way, almost like a small business. We're going to do a bunch of small, smart things and wait for our time.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dubas goes, I don't think it's going to make any difference in the shop itself. He was running the Marlies, basically. I don't know how much space he had at the big table. Felt like Hunter probably had more sway with Shanahan and Lamoriello than Dubas did. So I don't know how much in that regard is going to change. I think you're right. But to me, it just signals that first, the Leafs are actually smart, phase of the rebuild is ending. I'm not saying that means they're going to be dumb. I'm just saying the new questions that they have to answer are not, how do we find these nice little value adds? How do we get a P.A. Parenteau, let him be here, flip him, you know, just...
Daniel Winnick.
Control the cap, do all these small little things to put us in the position, because now they are in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more and more Lou's show. So how is Lou going to run it? Is the pressure to try and build quickly?
We don't know if Dubas is gone, though.
Well, we don't know, but I think we're assuming he's gone, and that's fair.
You know, and the one interesting thing was that he was granted permission. Other teams haven't granted permission. We saw that with the Rangers and with the Kings.
So. It's so royal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Granted permission.
Yes.
You have been granted permission to enter, and then those really long trumpets with the flags hanging off of it. Dubas has entered, sire.
And then everyone's, you know, bowed on one knee. By the way, why would Dubas, I mean... Why would you want to go to Colorado? That place?
Well, because it's your show.
Yeah, I guess it's
your
show.
It's your show.
I mean, Toronto could still be Dubas' show. We don't know.
We don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. How does Lou Lamoriello manage his way through the next phase of the Leafs' growth? And the World Championships, actually, Maddie, is your takeaway, was a great place to start this, because you've got these incredible young pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a roster that's incomplete and growing. And now... The hardest thing in business, any business person will tell you, isn't going from small to middle. It's going from middle to big.
Of course. It's the same thing in sports. It's, you know, anyone, I mean, how many times is the coach of the year a team that was horrible to, you know, just over 500 and barely made the playoffs? And it's like, wow, look at that growth. It's getting to the final phase. That's the hardest one.
Last thought on this, Maddie. Yeah. If they come next year and have basically the same year as they did this one, and they squeak into the playoffs and they're out in the first round, but you can see that there's some development and they still have money to play with. There isn't a huge leap forward. Do you consider that a failure of a year or just part of the process?
No, just part of the process. Because remember also this last year, they were really, really healthy. You know, if the Maple Leafs make the playoffs next year, they'll probably deal with more injuries than what they dealt with the past season, just because the law of statistics says, hey, man, you're going to get hurt. It's hockey.
It's interesting that they made their hay beating up on bad teams, and I think that's because they had a lot of balance, but they didn't have a particularly great record against good teams. And that's where a team that's transitioning from crappy to good tends to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really become an upper echelon team until you have the ability to beat other good teams with some regularity. You see that with the Raptors. The Raptors can beat up on the Brooklyn Nets, but, you know, you put them against a decent Western Conference team or, you know, a Cleveland Cavaliers, and they can't win.
Nope.
So are they a great team? No, they're a good team.
They're a good team.
They're a good team. By the way, Jeff Weltman also gone. So there you go. There could be he's on his way to Orlando. So big movement this week in terms of Toronto management.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have another takeaway? Because I have a huge announcement to make.
No. Make your huge announcement.
Do you want to do your takeaway? Well, do you have another one?
The other one was...
I thought we were going to do only Leafs in the spirit of two Toronto sports fans ignoring every other sport doing Leafs talk on May 25th.
I love it. What's your big announcement?
All right. I'm going to have to actually have props for this one, okay?
That's good. This is a podcast. They love props.
Yeah, all right. So, but I'll set it up this way. Do you love delicious, schlocky junk food?
Yes.
When you have, you know, you're hungover and you're aching and you just got that need, that gnawing need for schlock and grease.
Mm-hmm.
Are you that guy?
Yes, of course.
Then this is the biggest announcement in the history of the Macko and Cos podcast. I'll get it out of my coat. Just one second.
All right. Bob is now fumbling around in his jacket, grabbing something. And what's funny about this is Bob's talking about getting some sort of greasy food. And he went to a nutritionist. And Bob has his list of things he is and is not allowed to eat. And I'm betting a lot of on the not allowed will involve gluten and cheese and all the fun stuff. All right, Bob, I'll get my
do not fly list for food in just a second. But I am about to hand to you the game changer, the biggest announcement in the history of Macko and Cos in the podcast.
Ooh.
Describe what I've put in your hand, Matthew Cos.
Just going ooh is very bad for podcasts. It is it is McChicken sauce. It is a plastic container, like squeeze.
A squeeze top bottle of McDonald's McChicken sauce.
Oh my God. I'm going to open
Do you want to run down and open it up, or do you want to just take it right out of the bottle? You're going to swig it? You're going to do a foobar and just drink it right from the bottle? Giver, buddy.
Oh, that does smell like it.
It's actual McChicken sauce. Matt, there's also Filet-O-Fish and Big Mac sauce.
Yeah, that tastes
I got that at Sobeys.
Really?
You can go to the department store and get actual McDonald's sauces.
Oh, my God. I want to look at the nutrition facts on this thing.
Don't do it.
I want to look at the...
You will turn to a pillar of salt.
The first ingredient is soybean oil. I don't know what that means. That can't be good.
I think it's science for taste.
Then prepared mustard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means. This looks delicious, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that at Sobeys. Just try and find more ways to fatten us all up.
So here's my takeaway.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this. On the first level, of course I love it. My wife made us Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. We went and got we went to the frozen food section and got the fish cakes.
Yeah.
And just put them in the oven. Mm-hmm. And then got a bun, toasted it up good, put the Filet-O-Fish sauce on it.
Oh.
She even shredded the lettuce to make it exactly like a Filet-O-Fish. And I could see in her eyes, there's nothing I've done in the last 10 years that's made her as happy as that Filet-O-Fish sandwich. But here's the problem with it, Matt. It normalizes it. Because the idea of McDonald's is you actually have to go there. I mean, it is a bit of a treat. Even going back to when we were kids, the idea was, ooh, McDonald's, wee. Or you're really hungover and you desperately need a greasy meal and you go and you eat it.
Yeah.
But what if you could have access to it all the time? Wouldn't it normalize it?
It wouldn't make it as special.
Like Popeye cigarettes. It would normalize the experience in a non-threatening environment.
Yep.
Tough one, right?
It is a tough one. I don't think you can't have it in your house. I think that's really the answer. You have to go, because part of McDonald's, it is about the journey. And if it's there all the time, you're going to be obese. I mean, there's no way around it. And the best part about the Filet-O-Fish.
My wife's had three of them in 8 days.
Wow.
Right? But how do you not?
Yeah.
If you had access to Big Macs anytime you wanted, wouldn't you have Big Macs anytime you wanted?
Well, this goes to why my girlfriend has to hide the chocolate chips. Because I will just, if there's a bag of chocolate chips and I know they're there, I'll just, you know, grab a handful. But 20 minutes later, I'm like, yeah, you know what I feel like? Another handful of chocolate chips. So she hides the chocolate chips somewhere in this condo.
So right now, we could actually have like an Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
For chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a very... It's not an enormously grown-up presentation of the way your home runs that you have to have treats hidden from you.
That is true. But again, as someone without kids, you know, I don't really live a grown-up life.
We've got your questions coming up in just a few moments. Our top five, which is topical this week.
Yeah.
Top five.
Movie monsters.
Movie monsters.
In honor of Alien Covenant, which just came out.
You saw it.
I saw it.
And you liked it?
Fantastic.
Right. I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
I'm not going to give
you spoilers. And Universal Movies and the announcement of their movie universe that they're creating around the old monsters, the mummy and the invisible man, all that. And it's called Dark Universe. So in honor of that, Maddie and I are going to do a top five of our definitive movie monsters. But right now, with the Jays winning a big game yesterday against the hated rival, yeah, Milwaukee Brewers.
Take that, Milwaukee.
Yeah, I've been waiting to get those guys back since the last time we saw them in...
Whenever that was.
Whenever that was.
Yeah.
8-4, Ryan Goins with the home run. And we decided, we went pretty heavy on the Jays last week. So, and let's face it, you know, they're the Jays. And right now it's not super exciting. So we thought we'd do a Jays in six words. We haven't done a six words in 2 years. So shall we get going, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You start or me?
All right. You do yours first.
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to yesterday's game, just as an assessment of the 8-4 victory over Milwaukee. 8 runs, Ryan Goins, why not? Also, you can't store runs like leftovers.
Yeah,
I was
true.
Watching that game thinking, I'm so excited, this is so great, and they're going to lose 2-1 today.
Oh, yeah, because they blew their wad yesterday.
That's exactly it. Don't you ever get that feeling when you're watching it? And it's like the most irrational sports thing to do where you say, stop scoring. We're going to need these later.
Save those home runs for tomorrow, Jose Bautista.
We treat runs like, remember when you were a kid and your parents, you had to watch the house and they would give you like $20 or $100 for food and you had to watch it for a few days and you would spend it all on beer.
Oh, yeah.
In the first 15 minutes. Yeah, runs don't work like that.
You know what I used to, you know, you're right. You know what I used to do on a quick aside. I always had horrible shoes when I was like 15 years old.
So were you the kid who had holes in his shoes?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I once painted my shoes white to make them look new. And they did. They did. They looked.
You literally whitewashed them.
Yes, I whitewashed them. Feels like there's more jokes there. My mom would give me money, and we would go to Zellers. Remember Zellers?
Oh,
and
yeah,
we would find the stupidest looking shoes that were the cheapest. And then the rest of the money we would use for, and I'd go buy a Sega Genesis game.
That's just smart.
Yeah.
What did you need more?
Sega Genesis.
Thank you. So there you go. I go back to you can't store runs like leftovers. Maddie, what's your six words?
Bullpen going to be super tired soon. Rich Griffin wrote about this yesterday. The bullpen going into Wednesday's game had pitched almost 169 innings, which is the most in the American League. And, you know, Stroman struggled yesterday. There's injuries. Aaron Sanchez, you know, dealing with the blister. So mine is the bullpen going to be super tired soon.
Can I do a quick one just to back up on that? Because this one's related to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Jays in six words. Mm-hmm. At least Joe Smith is good.
Yes, he is. There's
surprise.
That.
Nice value add.
Yeah. Nice
job. Mark Shapiro just combing the league looking for those value adds. All right. Sorry, Matty. I derailed you.
No. I mean, you, by the way, the Jays have won 3 straight, 21-26 as we are taping this, program. But, you know, the bullpen was great yesterday. You know, they retired 10 of the last 11 batters. But, you know, I worry about this bullpen. We're not even in June yet, and it's already racked up the most. It's racked up the most innings. And it's not like it's a bunch of, like, stalwarts. It's not like they're throwing out one Andrew Miller after another out there.
Andrew Miller is incredible. You know, people talk about how the Cleveland bullpen is going to reinvent how the bullpens are constructed at an MLB level. No, they're not. Because you need him to do it. He is a unicorn. That guy is a freak.
Yeah. It's like, hey, how do you win in the NBA? Oh, just go get a LeBron James. Guys, we've been doing it wrong this whole time.
We were getting a whole bunch of decent complimentary players. Mm. We should have just gotten the best player in the game.
Stupid.
Sideshow
Bob. Oh, Sideshow Bob.
Do you have any others? Because I got a few more.
Some other people writing in. Chelsea Darlington, current record almost identical to 2015.
Ooh, optimistic.
Which makes you very happy.
I got one from Joe on Twitter, the exact opposite. Mm. Blow it up. All of it. I kind of liked how dramatic that was.
Also, I think he did blow it up. He's like, oh, wait, I need six words. And then it's like, okay, all of it. Brandon McDonald writes in, only 5 months till Leaf season. Hey, we're done talking Leafs. That was the first 20 minutes of the podcast.
The most hypocritical admonishment that you could have. Don't talk Leafs the way we just did for half an hour on May the 25th. I got one that I wrote for you, Matt, and I'm very proud of this one. Because it's one of your favorite sayings. And this actually was a quote. I added one word to it, and it's a quote from Aaron Sanchez talking about rehabbing his finger, which seems to be a real issue. It is what it is. And then the added word. Although, is just as good. Actually, I think that. So one more time. Can you read it for me?
It is what it is. Blurg. I went blurg. I went.
You and I are totally not in sync on that.
I went Liz Lemon.
I think.
On that
The point I think is just angry and disappointed sound effect afterwards. Yeah. Maddie, just so you know, the reason I wrote that for Maddie has always made the point that no one has ever said it is what it is because something good happened.
Let me show you how it normally happens. Yeah, I got a parking ticket on my way to the unemployment services. It is what it is. That's the correct use. Here's something you will never ever hear. Yeah, I'm kind of full. Kate Upton keeps making me waffles to celebrate that I won the lottery again. That is what it is. It's the natural maple syrup. We got it flown in from Quebec because, again, I keep winning lotteries. That is what it is. Yeah. That is the never-before-ever-used version of it is what it is.
That is beautifully explained. I got one last one. Do you have any more for Jason Six Words?
Just one last one? Tulo and Donaldson are coming soon.
Oh, okay. So you're going back to optimistic. Yeah, my last one is this, and it's going to require some explanation.
Okay.
Witch hazel, comfrey root, turmeric, aloe.
The hell is that?
Those are all ingredients, naturopathic ingredients, on how you can heal more quickly. Anthony Alford, also on the injured reserve list. As we well know, the injuries have mounted. So I thought, okay, six words. We're going naturopathic healing for the Jays because this season is pretty much a write-off if they're going to keep getting hurt. Well, it's a write-off anyway, but they won't even be okay if they keep getting hurt.
You mentioned lists and naturopathic.
Mm-hmm.
You want to break before we get to the big question, which we do each and every show, which we take one sort of just big overriding question for sports, get it away from anything really specific. Before we get to that, do you have your list? You went to a nutritionist?
Yes, I do. So I'm going to give you the avoid list. So I went to a nutritionist. I think I told the story last time of how my first nutritionist was a psychic and actually did a psychic assessment of my insides.
Weren't they also a hairdresser?
Yes, also a hairdresser. But look how good my hair looks.
It looks good.
It's a good haircut.
Considering what am I supposed to do on a rainy day.
It's so Seinfeld. What am I going to do? It's my hair. Like, my hairdresser is really good. Do I have to go for psychic advice now in order to keep her as a hairdresser?
I just think you need a nutritionist who doesn't also cut hair and tell the future. That's all.
Okay, I think that's solid advice. Getting it down. I went to see somebody new, and I'm about to start a program. They have a bunch of shakes. I drink two shakes a day and then one small meal. The shakes haven't arrived yet, so I haven't started yet.
Two shakes and one meal a day?
A shake in the morning, a shake at lunch, and a small meal. And you always know it's trouble when they say you can have a portion of protein.
Yeah.
A portion of protein the size of your fist.
Yeah, I take that fist and punch that nutritionist.
So, here's the avoid list, Maddie. It's on my phone here if you just want to read that.
All right. Actually, can you read it? My glasses.
You're wearing your glasses.
I know my glasses.
What's the point of having reading glasses if you're wearing them and can't read?
They're not strong enough.
All right. Eliminate.
Yeah.
Dairy. Gluten.
Yeah.
Soy.
Shocking.
Peanuts and peanut butter. Sugar. Honey. Maple syrup. Artificial sweeteners. Caffeine. Alcohol. All fruit except for limes, lemons, green apples, and berries. Pork. Fresh farmed fish. Non-cage eggs.
Wait, hold on. Fresh farm fish.
Farm-raised fish.
Farm-raised fish, yeah. Okay.
All beef, other than grass-fed. White potatoes, corn, nitrates, MSG, vinegar. So here's what the list includes for my one small meal a week that's about to start.
Yeah.
I can have almond and coconut and rice milk.
Ooh.
Brown rice.
Ooh.
Raw almonds.
Mm-hmm.
Almond butter.
Mm-hmm.
Stevia.
Don't know what that is.
Some kind of sweetener or something. Oh, green and herb teas. Non-starchy vegetables. Organic green apples. Turkey. Turnips. Avocado. Olive oil.
That's it.
30 days.
Okay, I'll tell you this right now. I had to go on a similar diet like that before my hernia. They make you lose. They want you to lose like 15 pounds before a hernia surgery. And I managed to do it. But that sucks. And first off, like, just, it's so racist. Oh, only brown rice. Oh, no, white rice.
I don't think it's a politically correct movement. I think it just has
farm-raised,
easily digestible.
When farm-raised fish is on the no-fly zone, that is trouble. You're going to be miserable.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should probably celebrate the last happy podcast we're going to have for a while. And I came walking in with McChicken sauce. Now, my wife's making 3 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches at home a week. How the hell am I going to do this?
But as long as they are not farm-raised Filet-O-Fish, then maybe you can do it. I love the fact that, yeah, you bring McChicken sauce on the, and you also bring your list of food you can and can't eat.
That is really my life in a nutshell right now. A nut that I can't eat, oddly enough.
Hey, Matt Cause here, and sorry for the interruption. We had to cut the podcast into 2 parts, and the reason is I'm a dummy. I didn't realize that with Audio Boom, you can only record and send out a podcast that is maximum an hour in length. This goes about 1 hour and 8 minutes. We didn't realize it because episode 1 actually went 59 minutes, so we just barely missed the problem. Thank you for the people listening who tweeted the show to let us know. That's my bad. That won't happen again. But we're going to do part 2, which you'll have to download. It'll be available right away. And we'll pick that up with the top 5 movie monsters. So again, thanks so much for everyone for listening. And please grab part 2, where again, it is top 5 movie monsters. We do listener questions, plus the big question, how liberal is sports media? Is it as liberal as people perceive it? That's coming up next.